Glory. Now, there's something that the Holy Spirit brought to my attention, which was just kind of blew me away. And I pray that we get revelation and impartation and understanding of what's going on. I'm going to start off with Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Oh, glory. So everything revolves around the tabernacle. Does everybody understand that? The tabernacle is the eternal port. Without going through the tabernacle, you can't enter eternity. And Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, is everybody there? It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. What's the first thing God created? Time. In the beginning, he created time. The first scripture speaks about creation of time. In other words, God set a tabernacle, a dwelling place, that's called a tabernacle, and he placed it in creation, with creation. In other words, when God set time, there's a beginning and an end. And we've heard this over and over, and I'm going to use this as an example. So there's eternity everywhere, right? There is no time, there's no space, there's no nothing, there just is. And all of a sudden he said, I'm going to create time. And in this time, I'm going to call this universe, because there's a beginning and an end. And in this universe, I'm creating this for a purpose that I may create a creation that I can dwell with, because I'm eternal and they can't dwell with me yet. So I'm going to create a place where I will produce my own offspring, but I must create them. So when I create something, it must be in time. Then I will pull them through time and bring them with me into eternity. Does everybody got it? So the first thing that God did is he created time, because there's a beginning and an end. This is his tabernacle. It is called the universe. Everybody all right? Okay. So the tabernacle, the dwelling place created with the eternal creator, a place set with time and space, or space in time. So there is space in here, and there's time in here. Outside of here, there's no space or time. There just is. We can't comprehend anything out of here. It's too difficult for us. But that's where God dwells. That's who God is. He's beyond our comprehension. But he has set a place so that he could dwell with us, so that he would create us and give us an understanding of who we are, who he is, and a place that can bring us through time into eternity. Now I'm going to go a little further. In Acts 17. Acts 17. An eternal creator created a place of dwelling so that eternity could have fellowship with temporary, but bring them through temporary to bring them home with him into eternity. That's glorious. That's just magnificent. That's awesome. And we can't comprehend the greatness and the love that he has in that arena. But again, it's the same thing as people being in the tabernacle as being in the universe. Without cooperation with eternity, you don't get eternity. Amen? Acts 17, is everybody there? In verse 22, let's speak it together. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus, and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very what? Religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, therefore whom, the one whom you worship without knowing. The one whom you, he's the only one they didn't know. They knew all the other little idols. Oh, I'll get there. Him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth. This word heaven means eternal, and earth meaning temporary, because he is the Lord of eternity and he is the Lord of temporary. Does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed what? Times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him, read this with me, 28. For in him we live, move, and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, for we are the also his what? Offsprings. In other words, in him, in where? In the universe that he's created, his tabernacle. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone. In other words, the things that they were making idols out of. Something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Every man to repent. Why? Because the only way to maintain in the dwelling tabernacle of God Almighty is to be continuously washed by the blood. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Now listen, I need you to grab hold of this, because it says, in him we live and move and have our being. He overlooked the times of ignorance. In other words, this word time, what's the first thing he created was what? Time. Time. There are three times. It's called triune time. It's called triune time. And in this, he utilizes times of ignorance by which man ignored God's prophetic warnings. But he commands all men to repent before the appointed time of judgment to all mankind on earth. In other words, that's an appointed time where God will visit, because he's talking about something different in the area of the triune time. There is prophetic time. There is the time of life. Is everybody okay? And I want to talk about the other time. Hallelujah. And then there's what we call universal time. So we have a universe that has a beginning and an end, don't we? That's a universal time, things that God has done. All of these triune times are very important to understand, because that is called real time. Real time is God's time. Has everybody got it? That is called real time. So I want to share something before we go any further. Reality of time is the understanding of real time. Everyone say that. Reality of time is the understanding of real time. Because real time is God's will. See, real time is actually eternal time. In Genesis chapter 4, we'll go a little further so that there's more comprehension on this. Genesis chapter 4. Hallelujah. In verse 3, what does it say? In the what? Process of time. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. This word process of time, meaning that the process of time is fulfilling or exhausting time. Something is fulfilled, and then it is what? Exhausted. It is the process of time is exhausting, is the fulfilling or exhausting time that can't be recaptured. It cannot be recaptured. Is everybody with me? It's time past. You cannot recapture that time. What you did a moment ago, you cannot recapture it. What's happened yesterday is gone. You cannot recapture time. Because this is a time that God has set universally. A beginning and an end. This time clock is constantly moving and it doesn't stop. No matter what. That is universal time. It's called the process of time. This is where we live and have our being, isn't it? In Genesis 17. Is everybody okay? The universal time is constantly moving. Nothing can stop it. Nothing. In Genesis 17, In verse 21, I think it is. Yes, would you read it with me? It says, "But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this," what? "Set time next year." Now, very powerful, because the Lord set a time. It's a time according to the will of God. Is everybody okay? So this was prophetic, wasn't it? There was a visitation. He said, look it, next year at this time, you will have a child. That was God's time, prophetic time. That is called real time. Universal time is real time. Okay, Genesis 18, verse 10. Would you read it with me? "And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of" what? "Life." That's man's time. Has everybody got it? Time of life. It's associated with man's time. "And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Go to verse 14. And says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." So we just spoke about three times. There's the time of life, there's prophetic time, and there's universal time. This is called triune time. It's called real time. Anything out of that is not real time. Again, the reality of time is the understanding of real time. That's the reality of time. And real time is God's will, isn't it? So if there's not a reality or understanding of real time, that person is not in God's will. It's impossible. Y'all look a little blank here, so just hang tough. We'll get there. Okay. The time of life, God's time, which we can, God's time is which we can only comprehend and call it his will. Okay? It is the time of life or man's existence. It's time, then prophetic time, and then there's, of course, universal time. So again, we got universal time, prophetic time, and time of life. Those are triune times, which are called real time. They all associate with God's will. Everybody cool? Hebrews 1. Today's teaching is called real time. Hebrew chapter 1. So people that are out of real time are not doing God's will, are they? So they're doing man's will by according to their time instead of God's time. So they go by how they feel. They are dictated by their emotions. They're dictated by circumstances. They're dictated by all things except for the will of God. Now, they may decree that they're doing God's will, but if they don't have understanding of real time, then there really isn't reality. See, now, I'm going to share this again. Reality is the understanding of real time. Amen? It is the understanding of real time. Now, real time is also associated with a person's perception. So a person may look at real time as everyday time, clock time, everything associated with their life, and, well, it's time to eat, well, it's time. Well, that's not real time. See, to them, it's real time. To a believer, real time is God's will. That's two different things. To a person, real time is, well, we're going to celebrate this and this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to... That's their perception, because real time to humanites, carnality, is their perception. So real time can be a perception to an individual. Well, this is how I feel it should be done. This is when I'm going to do it. This is when I'm going to set things. This is when I'm going to go on vacation. This is when, without, the Bible says, seek the Lord. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added. But see, people just go by, well, we're going to do this. You know, here's a real simple thing. God never interrupts himself. Again, we can go back to that constantly. God never interrupts himself. And there is a time for a vacation, but it's God's time. There is a time for certain things to happen. It's God's time. There is a time for everything. But we want to deal and live on real time, not time according to emotions, desires, or circumstances. Or you'll be out of time. And I'm going to tell you, things don't work if you're proclaiming to be a believer and you're out of real time. You struggle, confusion, I'm telling you, debt, everything that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy will be there if you're not in real time. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1. Is everybody okay? In verse 1. Therefore, is everybody there? Read it with me. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Is everybody there yet? Let me get in real time here, okay? Hallelujah. I'll drink to that. Hebrew chapter 1 and in verse 1. Come on, we're getting in real time now, okay? Yeah. Hebrews 1, 1. Let's speak it together. God who what? At various times. Now, is that his will? Yeah. Is that real time? Yes. Is that eternal time? Yes, because if it's God's will, that means eternity has entered. If it's not God's will, there's not eternity has not entered. God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets has in these last days spoken to us by his Son because he brought eternity into the natural realm. He brought the eternal voice, the eternal presence, the eternal power, and the eternal truth into the natural realm, formed a body, called him the Anointed One because of his anointing, whom he has appointed heir over all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So the one who created time came in time himself. Does everybody got it? Who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Again, various times, interventions of eternity. Various times when God spoke, he was intervening. He was an intervention. In other words, eternity was coming into temporary. Eternity was coming in. He was stepping in to time according to his will, setting a course or destination for man's benefit. Is everybody okay? So every time God stepped in, it was something, God was setting a course. He was either changing a course of man's direction. He was setting a destination. Is everybody okay? In other words, what was he trying to do? For man's benefit. So eternity, see, if we really look at, if we look at God as eternal in everything, when God spoke, eternity intervened. That's why he has set times and boundaries and so forth. They're interventions to keep man on course. Why? So he can get them out of temporary into eternity. That's what we are predestined for. But without cooperation, man will not make it into eternity. The Bible says that Jesus came to bring us life and life abundantly, right? But without cooperation, can there be a life and life abundance? Why? Because then we're not associating with eternity. We were made to be eternal. We are born again of the Spirit to be eternal. So without cooperation of eternity, that's why he had to remove Adam and Eve from the tree of eternal life, because they became temporary, and he couldn't allow them to live in an eternal place in a temporary condition. Hello? Is everybody okay? Good. Now, so he was doing this for man's benefit, so that the time of life, the prophetic time, and universal time would line up according to his will. It's called triune time, is the will of God. Again, the difference between reality of time and real time is reality of time is the understanding of real time. When there is not an understanding of real time, reality to a person is according to their perception. So they live carnally because to them it's real time. Come on, do y'all get this? Man, and this is how people are backsliding, dying. And this is all of these things are going on because they're not living in real time. They're living in their own perception of real time. That's why the Bible says forsake for not assembling. That's why it says abide, abide, abide. Why? We abide to maintain real time. We want to maintain the reality of real time because real time is actually eternal time. But for those who are lost, real time is self time. It's survival. But those who are eternal, it's surrender. Hallelujah. Again, if they don't understand the real time of God's will, they're trapped in the process of time. It's a place where time diminishes and dies. In Romans 12, it's a, you know, carnal time is a time where things fade away, don't they? It decays. Real time. So real time to me and you is eternal time. It's God's will. We don't want anything else. If you want anything else, then your perception of real time is self-time. You have walked out of eternal time. You've walked out of God's will. That's why there were many in the tabernacle who were still hanging out in the outer court just talking and doing whatever and never entering in because they weren't cooperating. The purpose of getting in the outer court is to get in the holy place and then the most holy place, not to live in the outer court. That's the process. In Romans 12 and verse 1, let's speak it together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, it's your proper service. It is the will of God, isn't it? Verse 2, and do not be conformed to what? This world, which is their real time is according to the time of self. It's temporary time. It's time that decays. It does not have eternal time. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is powerful. This is triune time. It is the oneness of His perfect will or time called real time. It's eternal time. If I'm not in real time, I'm not in His will. And if I'm not in His will, then I don't have the reality of time. I don't have the reality of real time. And when people lose the reality of real time, they walk out of God's will. Because His time is eternal time. Amen? Did you ever realize that, and everybody here has probably said it, I've been at the wrong place at the wrong time. And that's true. I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. See, that's what it's like when you're out of real time. Because when you were at the wrong place at the wrong time, things weren't happening so well. Because we walked then at that time what we call our own real time because it's our own perception of time. But when we walk in the perception and understanding of eternal time, God's time, it's real time. See, so we have an understanding that there's a universal time. That's a process of time where things are. Time is going constantly, no matter what. There's prophetic time that tells us of events that are coming. And then there's the time of life, which is an individual's time. And when all of these line up according to the will of God, it's real time. And when you understand it, it's reality of time. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Of course, you know, we've been in places where, man, I was there at the right time, at the right place. Glory to God. So we battle to stay in real time. Everyone say, I battle. To stay in real time. Because it's God's will. But resistance comes from the enemy to pull me out of the ranks of real time and prevent me to get in real time. So there'll be resistance for you to continue in, and there'll be attacks for you to get out of. The enemy doesn't want you to be in real time because he's easily exposed. Real time is where you know all things. Revelation chapter 1, or goodness, Revelation 12. So we look at temptation, we look at attacks, we look at all of these things that happen to me and you because the enemy is trying to get you out of real time. Sin moves you out of real time. Disobedience moves you out of real time. Rebellion moves you out of real time. And you get lost in delusion and deception. Because now time is according to your perception, which is incorrect. It's not real time because it's not according to God's will. In Revelation 12, is everybody there? In verse 12. Revelation 12, verse 12. Let's read it together. Therefore, is everybody there? Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Now, what's heaven? Eternal. Rejoice, O eternal, and you who's in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a what? He has a short time because he doesn't have real time, does he? Because to have real time, you must be in the will of God. So the devil has a short time because he's not in God's will. Is everybody okay? Very good. So the devil's time is short because not in real time. Where time, all right, are you ready for this? Hold on. Okay, the devil's time is short because he's not in real time where time doesn't exist. Because it is paralleled to eternity. There is no time in eternity. Come on, did you catch that? See, real time we know is God's will. But it's also eternity. But in eternity, time doesn't exist. That's why we are eternal. Because we're not bound by time. Again, when Moses was with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, right? He thought it was 5 minutes. He walked in, said a few words, bam, walked out. He was glowing. And he left with a message to mankind. Repent. Don't do this. Why? Because the devil, the ruler of this earth, was taking man out of real time, which is God's will. Hebrews 12. Oh, yes. Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. In verse 5, let's speak it together. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Let's speak this together. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons and daughters. My son, do not despise the what? Chastening of the Lord, the correction, the spanking. For he, nor be what? Discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the what? Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening or correction without being offended, God dwells with you, deals with you, as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? So why are we chastened? Because we're not in real time. Hello? So when we're out of real time, God's time, God chastens us to get back into real time. That's what it's all about. Because if you're not in real time, you're temporary, you're not eternal. But I've been a believer 30 years, I'm telling you again. If you are not in God's real time, you are not in God's will. And if you're in the tabernacle of God as a believer, then there is cooperation. That cooperation causes me and you to live in real time. Why? Because we have reality of time. That's why the presence of God always brings reality of time. You know when you're out of line. You know when conviction comes. You know when you're stepping in the wrong direction. You know. You know something. It's not about being bad or good. It's about being out of time. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 1. God chastens us to get us into real time, which is the will of God, the time of life, prophetic time, and universal time. Titus chapter 1. See, but the enemy loves to bring compromise, complacency, laziness, justification. Why? Reasoning. So that we don't step in to real time or maintain real time. Or maintain reality of time. Amen? Man, if we could see this in a whole perspective, according to living in eternity and seeing this. living in eternity and seeing this, instead of living in the natural and seeing this, your perception is totally different. See, because that's where God wants me and you to be. We're to be living in eternity and looking into the temporary. So if we're living in eternity, temporary stays still. And we're able to see everything. That's what the anointing is for. That's why we walk in the anointing of God. That's why the Holy Spirit has brought us the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God. Why? To convict us, chasten us, correct us, and get us into real time. Because when you're in real time, everything else moves slower. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I had a hard time trying to put this on paper. This was all in bubbles in prayer this morning. B and P. I'm like, what? Well, this is wow. What did I say? Go Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. Speak it with me, please. Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Hallelujah. This was what his intent was. He said, I'm going to look at, before I even bring this to pass, this is my covenant. This is my promise. If you'll stay in real time, you'll end up back with me. Verse 3. But has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Why? Because the word of God is to what? Put you in real time and give you reality time, which is the understanding of real time. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set what? In order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop, or this word bishop means overseer, must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, blah, 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 blah. A lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Wow. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm looking for someone and those who can become overseers that will not get pushed out of real time or be misled out of real time. Of course, that's God's will, isn't it? Does everybody get this? I mean, this is so powerful. It was blowing me away. And again, it's hard to put on paper. It's hard to express. You have to get in real time. That's all I can tell you. Hallelujah. Promised eternal life, a place where time no longer exists. Overseers must be in real time to direct others by the Holy Spirit into real time, because reality of real time must be understood. Amen? Hebrews 9. You know, you may speak to someone, and I'm sure everybody's come across, and they're just like, you know, do you ever... In other words, people don't understand prophetic. Listen, Holy Spirit sets things, right? God left his spirit, man. I mean, he left his spirit. Hello, the eternal spirit. He left his eternal spirit to guide us and keep us in real time or eternal time, which was really no time at all. But anyways. Ooh, every time I go there, I get lost. It's like dust that just fades away, you know. And so in this, he set feasts. Yeah, feasts. He set the seven feasts. Those are the feasts of the Lord. Why? He was setting God's visitation times. And you know, many people don't even know what the feasts are. They just think it was for the Jews. It's not even for the Jews. They celebrated it, But these are the feasts of the Lord, not the feast of a Jew or a Gentile. These are the feasts of the Lord. Why? Because those are real time, eternal visitations, directions. But he gave this information to the Jew, and they celebrated it. The Bible tells us that the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, is a shadow of things to what? Come. So they were practicing in preparation for eternity to come into the natural realm through Jesus Christ to fulfill real time and get us out of here. Hallelujah. Okay, Hebrews 9, verse 23. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. In other words, into eternity. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, not that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have to have suffered often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin. But for what? Salvation, to take us into where? Eternity. It's almost like this. If you're waiting for a bus, and the bus has a specific time, well, if you're not on time, you miss the bus. Hello. So, that bus has a destination, doesn't it? So when you miss the bus, you miss the destination. So if we're dealing with real time, we know exactly what's going on. You get on the bus, you're there on time, the bus comes and meets you and takes you to the destination. But if your perception was that the bus was going to be at another time, but you were incorrect, you missed the bus. But your perception that's what I believed. So your real time did not line up with actually the time schedule, did it? Does everybody got it? So your perception of time was incorrect then, and you missed the bus. And that's what's going to happen with many people. Because when the body of Christ is removed from this earth, they were living according to their time. Well, I'm a good person. Well, I helped this. When they came before him, they said, Lord, Lord, hey, we cast out devils in your name. We did this in your name. We did that in your name. I said, yeah, but I don't know you. Because you were never in my time. You were in your own. Your perception of time is not my time. That's why you must have a reality of real time, which is the understanding of what real time is, and that's God's will. Nothing that is out of God's time is God's will, or it becomes disastrous. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Okay. Let's go a little further. That's why he restores us back to time, because sin moves us out of time, doesn't it? Out of God's time. Out of real time. And isn't that what the enemy tries to do? In James chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. I just really believe that the Lord is trying to get us into that place where we begin to live in eternal realm, in the eternity, in the area of the future. So as we live in real time, everything else is slower so we can see all things. So everybody got this? So that we can discern. In other words, so before you do something, you see it. Before you speak something, you see it. Before you react, you respond. That's a whole nother arena. That's you know, when we ask for, you know, when the Lord said to me, Guy, do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol or you want a new life? I said, I want a new life. I had no idea he meant another realm, another time, another place. But yet, we still are here, but we still live in another place. And we are no longer citizens. I mean, we are temporary citizens here, but our citizenship is in the eternal, not the temporary anymore. So sometimes it becomes difficult to fit in. And you'll be talking to someone, you can tell right off the bat, yeah, I've been a believer 20 years, yeah, and you're wondering, then why are you saying what you're saying? Why? You know why? Because they have no reality of real time. They do not have the understanding of real time. I've been a believer 20 years, yeah, we still celebrate Halloween. Woohoo! Yeah, we dress our kids up. Look at little Lucy, she's a little devil. And there's Junior, he's Frankenstein. Oh, here comes my husband, the wicked witch of the north. You know, whatever. People don't realize. They celebrate these goofy things because they're not in real time. They're in their own time. Their perception of what time is. Fantasy land. James chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure? That war in your members, I like that word, is pleasure, is deception. Your desires for deception. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your desires or your deceptions. God does not provide finances for your deceptions. Adulterers. Now he comes, he goes, here it is, okay. Adulterers, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Why? Because the world's time is not God's time. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud. Why? Because the proud is not in real time. They've been taken out of time. But he gives grace to the humble. Humble is a person that's in real time. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, and you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. In other words, cut the garbage, come out of the world, quit playing games, and get in real time. Because you never know when you're going to get your last breath. You just don't know. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Let's speak it together. Therefore what? Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as what? Obedient children. As what? Obedient children. Not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who, without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Fear, reverence, honor, and respect to the Lord. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. 1 John chapter 2, and then one more scripture, real time. We will never look at time the way we used to. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, what does it say? Again, do not love the world or the things in the world. Why? Because it prevents you from walking in real time, God's time. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So he who does the will of God abides forever. Is that person in real God's real time then? Yes. I'm going to close at Philippians chapter 2. But I'm a good person. Are you doing the will of God? Well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then you're obviously not. Because you know. Why? Because you know all things when you're in that realm. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? Praise God. Aren't you glad you came today? Are you in real time? Some of you got pushed in real time. I don't want to be here. They kicked you in the river. Verse 1, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded. In other words, everybody, have the reality of real time. Fulfill my joy in being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, what does it say? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Real time. Everybody got it? Praise God. Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you for real time. We ask that the blood cover the seed of understanding and that the reality of real time will be manifested in each and every one of us, knowing that every decision and everything that we do can either take us out of real time or put us in time. So, Lord, I want to thank everyone for being here and all of our listeners and those who are watching today. I encourage you to continue to follow along in the eternallibrary.org, a website that will help you grow and mature. And I pray that people will come to the reality of repentance, because he has appeared for repentance and the covering of the blood of Christ over sin, but he's coming again to rescue us for the fullness of redemption of salvation. And that's into the eternal realm with an eternal family, an eternal king, and an eternal father. May the Lord bless you and keep you and visit you. And may the Lord bless not only you in physical, but spiritual understanding and financial blessing. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.